see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I think we all need just a little bit more Louis Armstrong. We all do need a little bit more. Oh, man, that's such a fabulous song. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator, and she joins us now by phone every Thursday at about this time. Hey, Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. So you got a meeting going on today. There's a lot of stuff on the list that we want to get to. I did have a couple of just like real quick status update kind of things that I wanted to ask you about. Where are we at on the Fishing Pier Skanska reimbursement, kind of any of that?
Yeah. So there have been some delays in some of our communications due to some COVID issues, but I think our folks are going to be able to get back into the swing of it today in terms of just communicating. So we've provided all the information that has been requested of us. I think with the exception of a final cost to rebuild that we're waiting on from one of our subcontractors. So I think that's the last piece that we need to provide. But I think we've provided all the damage reports and things like that to the team that's looking at it. So that's kind of where we are. There's, you know, as you're aware, I think there were some motions filed in court the other day to kind of limit their exposure to claims. But I don't know necessarily that, while I know that would potentially impact our request, I also think that we still have options to continue through the insurance, you know, and other conversation routes.
I just know that the, you know, their general argument has been that they're not responsible for a lot of things because of maritime law, but your bridge your barge blows out the fishing pier. That's 100% a maritime law. I mean, that's an easy slam dunk. That's why I was kind of curious where we're at. The other one is a the sailfish sign in Gulf Breeze that you and I have talked about before. Any progress update on that? Because I get texts all the time from people like, Andrew, oh, my God, you got to see this thing. It's so bad.
Yep. You know, it's unfortunate that I think when I got here, that was one of the things that we were just even dealing with the delivery of it. You know, we were having a tough time with the supplier. And so, unfortunately, you know, we kept the retainage on the project since its completion because we've not been happy. I think that's probably a situation that's going to move into litigation.
Okay, but we haven't gone there yet. We're not in litigation yet.
Not that I'm aware of. You know, anything could have happened in the past couple of days, and I might not be aware of it. But I think we're prepared for that.
Okay.
We're preparing for that. So.
All right. And just one last thing, because I know this is something that's important to you, is if I'm not mistaken, the Escambia Citizens Trust is having their first meeting tonight. And it's just going to be an organizational meeting,
correct.
But that's tonight, right?
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought that up. It's the Children's Trust, and for those that are remember, the citizenry passed it, passed the millage, the tax rate, and the actual trust to provide services to our children in the community. It's about they're going to be managing between $8 and $9 million, you know, from what I can tell, and we need applications. Now, there is a stringent application because you're going to be managing a lot of money. Number one. And number two, you have to also fill out the gubernatorial application because it doesn't do the commission any good to pass you if you don't also have the gubernatorial application filled out because that's what the governor is going to require. But I will tell you, we need more applicants. So I was going to mention it today at the commission meeting. We need more applicants for the commissioners to finalize who they forward on to the governor for consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. So if people want to serve on that, that's the route to go. And there's information you can find at myescambia.com. So I appreciate you mentioning that. That's kind of why I wanted to bring it up because I know that's still something that we're looking for.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, since the meeting starts at 9 o'clock, I had some questions about some topics that are on there. You know, I of course, read stuff very differently from how you read stuff. I read through the agenda yesterday. I'm like, I'm bored. And then you get to the end, it's like, oh, my God, that's all really interesting. all the stuff at the end, because it's all, it's like the internet proposal, the body cameras, vaccination funding, all that stuff. Let's go one at a time. The sheriff has told me, and this is of course not a surprise, but Sheriff Simmons has said for a long time that he wants body cameras for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. This is going to run a little more than $900,000, and he's asking for it from y'all out of CARES money. How is CARES money still available? That's one question. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things, the board has been the one that has, passed everything that has been funded through CARES. You know, we've taken each agenda item to them. In the end, when we thought that the CARES were going to run out at December 31st, we thought that it would be the best idea to ensure that the county had the funds. And so we were able to utilize all of our salaries for fire, EMS, corrections, jail medical, those kind of things, to ensure that we draw down, that we drew down all $57 million. And so from that, if you look at it from that perspective, there's probably folks that believe that that there is, money that's left over because we are using it to subsidize some of our salaries for those particular entities. So that's why the perception is there that there's money.
Okay, so it's like it was money shuffled into CARES categorization that otherwise would have been probably general fund or whatever. And so that frees up money theoretically that we could. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I follow that.
Yeah, but I want to be clear. So as I've shared with the sheriff. We're sitting on about $80 million worth of invoices for debris hauling and other, hurricane-related issues. So, one of the things that we're trying to do, our new chief budget officer and myself are trying to do, is make sure that we are, managing the cash and the funds that the county has. We don't want to dip into our investment accounts, because once you dip into those investment accounts, right, you have a double whammy. You've reduced your opportunity to get income from investment, and you've also started to dipping into your accounts that should be your quote unquote rainy day accounts.
Right.
So, it's a very tight balancing act, but we had a hurricane and we have invoices that we have to pay. We also have COVID and we have invoices that we have to pay. So, I appreciate folks' perspective that we have extra money. We don't have extra money laying around.
Well, we did, and we also got that, the Transocean money, but still, there's a lot of debt on the other side of the ledger and a lot of obligations that we're looking at. By the way, I'm glad that this is on there. I think this is appropriate. Weirdly, this has come up in both Santa Rosa County and Escambia County. Who has the ability to put items on the agenda? If the sheriff, has to come to you guys for funding, if the sheriff wants to pay for something, he's entitled to ask. I don't understand why this would be a controversy.
Yeah, so all the constitutional officers have the opportunity to come to the board because we do manage their accounts. Just like I think you saw last month, we don't tell them how to spend their money.
Right.
We provide them a budget. But the state's attorney came to us last month and had to have some information technology support because of all the cataloging of all the body cameras that's now starting to happen.
Right, right.
So
that's
they
good.
Do, yes, they come to us and ask us for, funds.
Yeah, and I'm very curious to see how that conversation goes. I'm a big supporter of the body cameras, so we'll see. Now, Janice, you and I talked last week about this broadband proposal and having this team in to give their presentation. I know some on the board kind of felt like it was a little bit more sales pitchy than it was just information. I looked at the end takeaway, and my thought was, I understand 3,000 people missing, not having good broadband, but I looked at the price tag, even with the likelihood of grant funding of $19 million, and I thought, that seems like an awful big chunk for the county to put into providing, at least for the next few years, a technology to people. But I know it's not your decision to vote on it, but how much of that would go to help individuals in the North End mostly, and how much of that would really help, say, businesses or other, aside from just 3,000 homes?
Yeah, so part of the pro forma is that there would be a number of businesses, a substantial number of businesses that once the backbone is laid would want to participate. And the county alone would save a couple of $100,000 a year on our cost for services to all of our facilities. So, and you saw the cash flow. I don't know if you saw the balance, at the end of 20 years. I think the thing about this topic is this. I think people are starting to realize that you have got to have some kind of broadband in this culture. So if you want to work at Navy Federal and you live north of probably, let's say, Neal Road in Cantonment, you're probably going to have a tough time keeping that job at Navy Federal if it is a, you know, online job, because we just don't have access to good broadband and internet up there. I mean, their Charter Spectrum provides some on the backbone, but not everyone up there has that same access. So now we're limiting people's opportunity for their income based on geography and where they live. So that is one thing to consider. You know, the other thing I think that the commissioners were clear about, okay, now we know what the problem is. I mean, we clearly have the problem, you know, delineated. It would be great if we would get some public-private partnership.
Right.
You know, I think you heard the Okaloosa gas conversation, right? I'm not really in favor of municipally owned utilities. And I don't know that our commission is necessarily that supportive of municipally owned utilities. However, you know, this is kind of like, you know, whenever electric utilities started back in the 1920s, you know, I mean, having access is kind of important now. And so I think this is the next wave of, you know, utility provision to the citizens that's going to be required, I think, in the future. So it's one of those conversations where, yes, it does appear to be expensive, but, you know, the economic development folks and the pro forma looks like there are opportunities there to you know, have a revenue on the back end.
I would be cautious, though, and I know this came up in the meeting before, is I'd just really cautious about projecting anything out 20 years on current technology. And you know that, too. I mean, you know, as Jeff Bergosh rightly mentioned, you know, this could be obsolete in 3 years. We just have to be careful that we don't get on the hook for that kind of projection. Hey, you often like to, and there's a lot of other stuff on the meeting that starts at 9. We're just totally out of time. You often like to ask me a question. You have a question for me this week?
I do. So which is your favorite executive order that has happened?
Of the, like, how many came out yesterday?
32, I think. Yeah.
Rejoining the World Health Organization and putting somebody in charge of CARES in the government, COVID stuff, and having Fauci join the World Health Organization briefing on Friday. I agree with that. I'm that makes me happy. I like to see us back to be part. All the rest of it, but that one I'm supportive of. Good question. Interesting.
Good.
All right. Janice Gilley, she is our Escambia County Administrator. Janice, thank you so much for what you do. Thanks for the time this morning, and we'll look forward to the meeting a little bit later on.
Thank you.